Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate on Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. Thanking God for all you listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to shout out to those you listening to the broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to those of you listening in Canada and Ireland. Welcome, Uganda. To those of you in the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast, I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you are limited to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. If you are calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages, the Lord been sending through the angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. Once again, those of you who don't like giving your prayer requests over the air or asking your questions, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you this day and we humble ourselves before you. For your word says you give it grace to the humble, but you resist the proud. And dear Lord, we acknowledge this day that we can know nothing without you. So therefore, once again, we humble ourselves before you at this day and hour. And Lord God, we ask that you reveal, Lord, by your spirit. Lord God, as we go into the word of God, Father, I pray that you would speak into the hearts of everyone that's listening. Father, we thank you for you being a keeper of your word, for you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. And Lord, we know that you are the true and living God who maketh good on this word. So we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on part four of the things Jesus has given us for our healing and deliverance. You know, there are things that Jesus has given us for our healing and deliverance. You know, some people think that they got to stay sick. I'm just going to make it point blank. Some people think that they got to stay in bondage. They think they got to stay disturbed, rattled, in fear, okay, because of things that's happening from Satan, who is speaking unto them and even speaking or using the mouths of men to speak to them. They actually think this is it. You know, it's kind of like this, and I know some of you may get offended, but I love you anyhow. It's kind of like this. When you go to the doctor, and the doctor say, you got this disease, and there's no cure. And what happened is, and to get more specifically, of the Christian community, some of us, we take the word of the doctor over the word of God. In fact, many times we don't even ask God, say, God, okay, this doctor said, I got this sickness, this disease, there's no cure. What do you say? We don't even ask God that because we have spent our time saying to ourselves and to other people that God has given us doctors, that we have made the doctors our God. Now, people, it's time to be real about this, and that's what I'm doing. And like I said, I know some of you may have gotten offended at the statement I made. I still love you, okay? But truth is the truth. And here's the question as we get ready to go into the message. When is the word of God, I'm going to speak this, apply this to yourself personally. When is the word of God going to take place in your life concerning your healing? Is it something that you just read in the book, the Bible, word of the Lord directly Nephi? Is it something you just read to say, I read it? Or do you actually believe it's real? Now, some get offended at the statement I make because they say, well, what are you trying to say? I don't have faith. Well, the way things look, you may not have it for that situation. Well, let's be honest. All of us, at some point as Christians in our walk, lack the faith in different areas in our life. And we was too prideful to even admit it. And when it was addressed or brought up, we got quickly offended. Because we're like, how dare you question me to say if I believe in God? Okay? That's how we got. But see, the Lord has shown us in his word that he has given us things that is for our healing and deliverance. Now, we're on part four today because what we last been talking about is that when it came to healing and deliverance, one of the things that God talked to Israel about and is talking to his people today about, one of the things he talked about was the spiritual aspect, showing faith, repentance, and all that. But he didn't just stay with that because he's a balanced God. The other thing that he talked about for our healing was on the natural side. And so what we've been talking about lately is the dietary laws that he gave Israel. Now, in the Old Testament, two places in the Old Testament that I know, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, that is the two places within the Bible where that you're given a all-out, straight-out list of food or meats that is considered whether it was clean or unclean. Now, today I want to speak on it, if I can come from both scriptures. I'm going to start at one. If you got your Bible, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 10. Now, what I want to talk about today is in connection with these dietary laws. Now, and what I'm about to say, I was once on the other side in thinking this way also. But there are some among the Christian community, as I get specific, that when you talk about these dietary laws, these meats and fishes and all that that God talked about, where he distinguished between ones that is clean or unclean, there are some Christians that they said, well, since we are a New Testament church, we don't have to follow that anymore. Now, and the other thing that is said, now, once again, what I'm saying to you, I am guilty. I have been on that side also, okay? I was saying the same thing. The other thing being said in connection to that is that, hey, we're a New Testament church. I was in the Old Testament. Now we just pray over our food. And so we're leaving many with the impression that, quote, you can eat almost anything, that you can eat these things that God called clean or unclean, and it'll be okay. Now, one thing we must remember, that God said, I am God, I change not. Now, what he calls clean is clean. What he's called unclean is unclean. He doesn't change on that. Now, what Jesus did was he came to be the sacrifice and die for man, that man can change from an unclean to a clean state. But if man don't receive him and is in an unclean state, he will remain unclean, because what God calls unclean is unclean. You get what I'm saying? And what he calls clean is clean. Now, when you turn it over to the foods, the natural things that he talks about, then he's not going to flip the script. For example, when he told you certain meats, clean or unclean, or certain animals that was clean or unclean, understand today they have not changed, because Christ did not come to die for the animals. He did not come to be a sacrifice for the animals, that the animals can, quote, repent and be changed from unclean to clean. See, this is what we miss it at. So we look at, by us being in this day and time under the, quote, New Testament, we just took what God calls clean or unclean, and we just said, hey, it's all right to eat it today. Well, where did the animals change? Where did the things that God called clean and unclean, where did they change? Okay? Amen. It didn't change. When God called swine in the Old Testament unclean, guess what it's today? Unclean. Because, you know, a swine will eat just about anything. I mean anything. Okay? And so you might well say swine is of the unclean, who are more of the garbage collectors here on this earth, okay? And so when you start eating something that will eat anything, okay, then what that, you see what it would do to you. Now, in Acts chapter 10, now this is one of the places that those of the Christian, some of the Christian community uses this to justify, to say, hey, This is the reason why we can eat anything now. We don't have to pay attention to those dietary laws God gave in the Old Testament because of this. Now, when you go to Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to read starting from verse 9 to verse 15. And this is the area where some Christians who say, you know, we don't have to listen to those dietary laws in the Old Testament. That's Old Testament. We're New Testament today. Plus, what God says here to Peter proves it all. Well, let's look at this. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to verse 15. The word of God says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, okay? He's in a trance. And saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that called not thou common. Verse 16, this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, there are those among the Christian community who look at this and say, here's the proof that we can eat anything now. We don't have to listen to those dietary laws, okay? Now, the trance concerning the unclean beast, we want to understand is that God was using symbolism because actually he was talking about people, okay? Amen. Now, keep that in mind. This was shown to him three times, okay? Now, when the word came to him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat, if it was really all about food, okay, if it was really all about food, then notice that here that it says, and the vessel was received up again into heaven, okay? Unclean. Uncleanness coming down from heaven. Now, the Bible said in verse 17, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision with which he had seen should mean, now notice it said he doubted in himself. Now if it was all about the food, then he would have looked at that vision. Remember he said, not so, Lord, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. So you see, one instance, he's thinking that God is talking about eating unclean food. But if that remained his stance on what that meant, then why did verse 17 say he doubted in himself what this vision which he has seen should mean? I thought he already knew what it means. Amen. So he come to understand this couldn't have been dealing with the physical, the natural food here on this earth. It couldn't have, because if it was, once he said that, once he said that, and the voice of the Lord told him, what he has cleansed, let no man call common, let not thou call common, then that would have been settled. But Peter is still wondering what this vision he has should mean. Then he said, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius have made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision. Now, he's still thinking on the vision. Still wondering, what did it mean? Wait a minute, I thought he knew what it meant. But see, something let him know to his attention that, now, this couldn't be just dealing with the food, the natural food. Amen? It couldn't have been just dealing with that. The Bible said, the Spirit said unto him, this is verse 19. Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherewith ye are to come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, the just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto this house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Okay. And the morrow after they entered to Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto a one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I shall not call any man, common or unclean. That's what those beasts was dealing with. Okay? See, Cornelius was of the Gentiles. Okay? And God was letting them know what I have cleansed that you shouldn't call common. Because they were differentiated between the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, the Jews was of God's ancient covenant people. So the Gentiles will represent the unclean. The Jews are supposed to be representing the clean. So the vision right here that he saw, it was symbolic. Okay? Because he was letting Peter know that when you come across these Gentiles, don't you sit up there and think there's no hope for them, that salvation is not for them, because guess what? It is. And they receive me, I cleanse them. That's what the Lord was saying. But see, you got some Christians who look at this in Acts 10 and they say, you know, that's proof that, you know, the Lord has told us we can just eat anything, that was Old Testament. No, it don't. We just see right here what that represented. So I gave you a couple things in there. I read a couple things to you to show you that. Number one, if it were just about the food, the natural beast and the food, if it was all about that, Peter would not continue to be wondering on a vision. Once he had said, no, Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean, then he would have stuck to that's what the thing was about. But see, after the Lord said what God had cleansed, that call not thou common, apparently that had him to thinking more that, hey, maybe this dream is not dealing with actually the beast. Maybe it's symbolic. You get what I'm saying? In other words, have you ever thought you knew something? And when you were given a little bit more information, it kind of changed your thought or perspective on what you thought you knew. Maybe you go back now and you say, let me look at this thing again, you know, because I thought it's dealing with that, but it's not. Well, see, you can see that was something like how Peter or what Peter was facing, okay? Because his first response to what he was seeing in the vision, oh, Lord, this is unclean beast. I ain't never ate none like that. But then as the Lord, when the Lord said the words, Whatsoever the Lord has cleansed, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. That's what God cleansed, okay? So, apparently from when the Lord said this, because remember, he showed this to Peter three times. And apparently somewhere in there, Peter had to rethink what he thought this vision meant. And so this is why verse 17 said he doubted in himself what this vision would mean. He started wondering, thinking like, okay, what do this vision really mean? Because I thought I knew what it mean, but man, God has given me this vision three times. And he's saying, what God have cleansed, call not doubt coming. So what does this really mean? And see, like I said, you have some Christians who use this to say, see there, this proof right here that we can eat anything because God has cleansed it. Well, God didn't change over, people. He didn't change over. Because remember, in order for man to be cleansed, he got to what? Accept the Lord, he got to repent, right? Well, what did the animals do that was unclean to get clean? Okay? What did they do? See, it's just like, understand this, with man, number one, Jesus had to do what he did in order for us to have a chance. Now, on man's part, man has to do what? Believe and repent. Okay? Then he can come fully into being cleansed, right? Amen. How can a man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word. Okay? Well, what can animals do? Okay? Well, let's go deeper. What could the unclean animals do to get themselves cleansed? Okay? Nothing. Nothing. The unclean animals getting saved was not in the plan of redemption. Jesus didn't come to be sacrificed and crucified and die for animals. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we look at this and we get down on this perspective that, hey, I really don't have to listen to these dietary laws. We're the New Testament church. Listen, I said this many times and I'll say this again, people. Please, we got to be very careful how we so quick to take the Old Testament and throw it in the garbage can. Amen. Some of you, as Christians, you can't take it when another Christian opened a scripture from the Old Testament. You just get all wound up. Oh, what are you doing now? Oh, he messing up. We ain't Old Testament, we New Testament. But understand, if you look at the prophets in the Old Testament of things that's happening today. So what sense does it make to take that and throw it out? See, there's things even in the Old Testament that still hold up. For example, when you look at the Old Testament, did God speak highly of adultery? Did he recommend you commit it? Okay. Huh? Amen. Did he recommend it? Why would he say thou should not commit adultery? Okay. If he recommended it, he didn't. And guess what? Get in the New Testament, what? Adultery is still wrong. So the many of us who's jumping on this, we New Testament boat, come on. Let's be careful. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now here's another spot. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 to 5. Now this is another spot, and once again I'm saying to you people that's listening, I was once guilty too. Okay, I was saying the same thing until I really started seeing this thing in the Word of God. Okay, I was saying the same thing. I was very guilty myself, and I lacked an understanding. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. And it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly or plainly that in the latter times, which is the times we're living in, some shall depart from the faith. Now, believing in Jesus Christ is the faith, people. I don't care. Some of y'all that's listening who may not be saved, you might say, oh, my goodness, you're narrow-minded. You think, oh, yes, 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 yes. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Buddha's not the way. Hare Krishna is not the way. Elijah Muhammad is not the way. Okay? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, he says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines or teachings of what? Of devils. Okay, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they got to a point that sin doesn't bother them anymore. Okay. You don't want your hallelujah, your conscience and your spirit. You don't want that to get to that point. Anyhow, verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from what? From meats which God have created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Uh-oh. That sounds like something specific. Okay. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, but is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, if you just listen to those verses I read and you really get this thing where God said, clean or unclean is still as it is with the animals, you will see from what I read, you can go, aha, I see what some are using to try to justify. Well, let's go back and look for a minute. Okay. First of all, he said that in the last days, some are going to depart from the faith. And remember, our faith has to be in line with the word of God, okay? You can't believe in God in something that the word does not cover. Because if his word don't cover, he ain't doing it, okay? In other words, his word does not cover you having another man's wife. So if you sit up there and say, well, I've got faith in the Lord that he's going to give me her, you missing the boat, okay? That's not covered in the word, okay? Well, you said, but I got faith. Well, that ain't the God kind of faith. But anyhow, notice what he said, that these doctrine of devils and seducing spirits is going to be forbidding people to marry. Now, wait a minute. Did not God ordain marriage? Yes, he did. Now notice that they're doing something opposite of what God appointed. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to get married, but it's nothing wrong with marriage. Okay, now, notice he's going to say, and commanding to abstain from meat. Okay, get this, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving. Now, stop right there. When you look at the dietary law, remember, he classified them what? Clean or unclean. Now, let's think of meats for a minute. What would God give to you to receive with thanksgiving? Would it be clean or unclean? Anything. Well, clean, obviously, right? So when he talks about to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth, he's talking about the meats that God declared to be clean. That's what I'm saying. Listen, God did not call something unclean and gave it for us to receive with thanksgiving. You get what I'm saying? Why would you thank God for something unclean? Hello? Do you hear me now? That would make no sense. If that be the case, ain't no need of him calling it unclean. Okay? Amen. You can go deeper. Anything that's under the category of uncleanness, okay? Why would God have you thanking him for it? When you look in the Bible, another example of uncleanness is homosexuality. So why would a man marry another man and be thanking God, okay, for his husband, which is a man? That's unclean. So God is not in that. God is in the clean. And God said, what is clean, that's what I give to you to be received with thanksgiving. So when he's talking about meats here, that God had created with thanksgiving, you go back to what? Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, and you will see the meats that he declared clean, that's the one that's supposed to be received with thanksgiving. Now, when you go further, notice he said, of them which believe. But see, everybody's not a believer. So that especially was given to his people. First, it was given to his ancient covenant people, Israel. And guess who are the spiritual Israel today? Huh? All that are the children of Abraham by faith that received Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, Romans 9 tells us and let you know that they are not of Israel that be of Israel. In other words, you know, you have the spiritual part. So that was given to as a word of obedience to what? To God's own people, to them that believe. And get this, he said, and know the truth. Wow. Well, guess what? What is truth? John 17. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if you put the word there, verse 3 would say, forbidden to marry and commanded to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the word. The word, well, where in his word were we given that let us know that God had given certain meats to be received with thanksgiving? It had to be the clean meats, right? Amen. Hallelujah. It's the clean meats. Now, look at verse 4. Now, this is what some Christians really ride on to say we can eat anything. For every creature of God is good. Now, wait a minute. Stop for a minute. Now, good would be also considered clean, wouldn't it? Well, you know, unclean is not considered good, right? Okay, so he says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, when he said for every creature of God is good, if that be the case, then Paul just contradicts the Lord. Because once again, even before, let's go deeper, people. Even before God had Moses to give the law, when you look in the time of Noah, did not God classify some animals clean or unclean? He sure did. He told Noah to bring some in the ark. So when it says every creature of God is good, what is he talking about? He's talking about every creature that is clean. Okay? Ain't no unclean is in the category of good, people. We got to really listen to this. Okay? God doesn't go around classifying unclean as good. He classifies unclean as bad. Amen? Hallelujah. See, it's man that do some stuff like that. You know, it said in Isaiah, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. Okay? Amen. But God don't do that. But it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified is set apart. By what? The word of God and prayer. Well, what animals, once again, were set apart? They were set apart, clean for unclean. So the animal that was considered clean, they were set apart, sanctified. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Boy, I sit the Holy Ghost behind. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. I sense the Spirit of the living God, people. Amen. Now, we can eat anything. I'm going to say to you like my brother, Brother Lee, would say, the next rat you see, won't you kill it and put it in a skillet and cook it and eat it? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. More than less, you're going to get sick. Well, you might say, well, I sanctified it with prayer. Wait a minute. Think of this. God ain't going to have you praying over something unclean and cover it. I'm going to say that again. God is not going to have you praying over something unclean and cover it. Like the example I gave you about the man marrying the man. If that man's praying to God, God, keep my husband and keep us together, God ain't in that, okay? I don't care how many times you pray that. You pray, keep me and my husband. If the man says, keep me and my man together, that's unclean. The word of God and prayer does not cover God blessing uncleanness. Do you get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It's not in there, people. It's not in there. It's not going to be in there. You see, now today, some of God's people want, let's be honest, they want God to bless uncleanness, okay? I mean, listen, once again on this broadcast, I ain't trying to be funny, but I got to be straight. Some of God's people, whether it's dealing with food or some other things that are uncleanness, be praying to God that God will bless it. Amen. And see, this was happening in many of the church today. Uncleanness, there are people in the church who are praying to God concerning uncleanness, and they're asking God to bless it. Yeah. Including homosexuality, lesbianism. Man, that's growing in the churches like wildfire. Just spread. Okay? Amen. And we always come with that God understands. Oh, God understands. He really understands. Yeah, he understands. He ain't got no... He, listen, He'll never have a problem with his understanding. We have the problem with understanding. He'll have a problem with that. Okay? Amen. So he's not going to bless something that he has called unclean. In other words, he's not going to bless you to consume it or to eat it when he's declared unclean. Okay? Amen. No, you're not going to bless it for your consumption. Okay? You know, people just gone all out the way. See, and like I said, I was one of those. I didn't know. I missed the mark. Okay? Like I told you, and it's not too long ago I was saying this. But I got to admit something. I remember me and another brother was on the job, and this conversation come up. And like I told you, I was with, this. And this brother believed the same thing, too, that, you know, now we just pray over our food. We ain't got to worry about dietary laws. And I know one time when I was talking to him about it, even though I said it, it was just something within me just like, I don't know. I guess you could say I didn't have no full peace about it, or it was just something in my spirit say, hey, hold up a minute. Hold up a minute. You know, I just went on. But as we is going into this subject that we on now, I started looking at it more and started understanding. I said, you know, I missed it. I really did. You know, we could walk as Christians. God wants us to be healthy and healing. You know that. He don't want us to be run down, bound by sickness and disease, afflicted with pain from sickness and disease every day. Can't think right, can't do right, can't speak right. He don't want that, okay? Now, having said that, here's the difference. We have to choose to walk in the way that God has set for us to be healed or delivered. We got to choose that. The Lord, even though it's his will for us to be healed, he's not going to force what you need to do that healing may take place in your life. That brings me to this next statement. Some of us as Christians, we don't want, let's be honest, we don't want to eat healthy. We like our pig ears and pig feet, pig toes, pig knees or whatever, pig lips. We like all that. We like that chemical salt, not the mineral, because we need some salt, but as one of the sisters was explaining to me, more the mineral and not the chemical, but we love the chemical salt. And our blood pressure can be higher than our house, and we walk in dizzy and can't think straight, and we still won't indulge in it. Amen. Now, God has been dealing with me more of things in my life on the healthy side. He had really blessed me. I'm telling you, people, he had me cut down on a lot of things, okay? And I thank God for it. But he has been showing things that he has given for our healing. Yeah, God wants you to be healed. He wants you to be delivered, okay? Amen. And along with the spiritual side, once again, there's the dietary laws, okay? Now, it's a couple other things. During this series, we're going to look into, Lord say the same. We got the herbs, and we got the plants and roots, things like that, okay? Now, sad to say, this is not a very popular subject amongst some in the Christian community. And you would say, well, why is that? You would think if God gave it, they would want to do it. Well, no, everybody don't want to do it. Because like I said, there's some that want their hog head sauce. Now, God had blessed me for certain foods that I ate. I don't even miss it now. Okay? I don't miss it. I don't, like, pork chops, I'm going to be honest with you. I cannot even tell you the last year I've eaten pork chops. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't know. It got to be somewhere about maybe 10 years ago, 8 or 10 years ago. It's been. Now, some of y'all say, oh, man, you need to stop that. No, seriously. Seriously. There were some things that God had blessed me to cut out that was hurting me. And I feel better about it, okay? I do, okay? Amen. So there are, we're discussing the things that he's given for our healing, and these two scriptures, or these two places in the Bible, I wanted to discuss that because these are two places where some Christians who say, hey, we can eat anything, just pray. Just cover it in prayer. Just pray. Well, not so. Okay? Because he have not changed his mind concerning animals, where he classified them clean or unclean. If you believe he has, you got to give me two or three witnesses on that. Now, the phone number, 515-605-9887. Remember the protocol of God amounts to two or three witnesses. But I'm telling you, you're not going to find two or three witnesses that tell you that the animals in chains, you're not going to tell it. You're not going to see that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Things that he have given for our deliverance. So people, pray, go for the clean meats, go for the clean food, okay? Amen. Go for it. I'm telling you that it will be a blessing unto your lives, okay? It really would. And I thank God he has blessed me, helping me to understand this in the name of Jesus. So he's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. And this definitely has been a blessing for me today to be able to go in the word with you on this. And it's been a blessing unto me. Like I said, I was one of those that were saying, hey, yeah, you can go ahead and you can eat, it's covenant prayer, but I was wrong. I got to admit, I was wrong. And what the Lord was letting me see there, hey, what did he let me see now? Amen. God said that when you go into the Old Testament, notice that God set apart the clean and unclean to his people. Okay? They're clean and unclean animals, but he made sure he revealed to his people what's the clean and unclean. You see that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is so worthy. He is so worthy to be praised, people. Many of your doctors, okay, and I'm not saying that all doctors are bad. I'm not saying that none of them have your interest, best interest in heart. Some of them do. And some of them, I can understand why they get frustrated at some of their patients. Because there are some of them who do have a heart to help people. And they're telling you, say, okay, you need to leave that alone or cut back from that off. And what happened? And I'm talking about some of us as Christians. What happened? We do the exact opposite. And we are still walking in sickness and disease. And the doctors, each time you coming in that office, And then you even tell the doctor the medicine you're giving ain't doing nothing, and the doctor discovers, find out you're still doing the wrong, well, he's getting upset. And some of them get to the point, they say, huh, I ain't worried about this no more. I just give them whatever. Amen. Now, some of you say, well, that's a bad way to be, and I understand what you're saying, but, you know, the thing I would say to the doctor, tell him, say, hey, I can't do no more for you. I can give you this or this. More or less, ain't going to do nothing because you won't do for yourself, you know. But sometimes, you know, doctors are thinking, you know, that's their livelihood. So, hey, if I lose this patient, I lose 100 and, you know, what is it? I think, I don't know in every state, but it got to be like to see a doctor in the clinic. You're looking at least about, what, $100, $150? Each time you go visit, you know, he's looking at, oh, I'm losing $150, you know, today. So, you know, amen. And then you got some doctors, like I said, they just simply don't care. They know you're doing a no-no. And they say, hey, as long as you want to keep spending that money on this medicine that me and Mr. Pharmaceutical came in agreement with to put you on, then so be it. You paying for my sailboat, for my big house, you paying all that. So, hey, why not? Amen. You know, so Lord help us. So, people, I pray that this series that I've been doing on this part here, I pray that it has been a help. I mean, it's not over with, I mean, but I just want to say, because I like to see people informed, especially about the Word of God. And I like to see people learn the Word. I don't like to see people in bondage from ignorance, and then you have people taking advantage of them because of what they don't know. And you do have some ministers out there that are like that. They know you don't know the Word. Hey, take advantage of you in the heart, advantage of you in a heartbeat. We'll tell you God said this, and God ain't no more said it than the man on the moon. But yet still, you know, because you won't get in the Word, hey, I can get this over on. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it is a blessed day in the Lord. And I am very glad to have the opportunity to come before you all today with this word. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this day that you made and created and how you blessed us. And dear Lord, we ask today that, Father, that you will look upon us at this hour. And Lord God, that you will bless accordingly. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. We magnify you, dear God, because you're worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, don't forget, in about a little over an hour, we have another broadcast. Our brother Eddie Lee will be on with the Angel Messenger Speaks today at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, the Life and Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.